It's 4:06. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from a man who, after years of working as a photojournalist, has decided to take photography down to its simplest form.
First, we're getting the latest news on the stock market. This morning, stocks took a big dive just a few seconds after the market opened, with the Dow Jones Industrial Average dropping more than 1,000 points. Last week was the worst week for the stock market in 4 years. While the market has mostly bounced back as the day went on, current conditions are making investors nervous and raising questions about what's next for the markets and the economy as a whole.
Central Time economics correspondent Chris Farrell is here to break down the market news for us. He's a senior economics contributor at Marketplace and the author of Unretirement. Chris, welcome back to Central Time.
Well, thank you for having me.
So, Chris, sometimes you got a wild day, week on the stock markets around the world, and it's the harbinger of doom. Something bad's coming. Sometimes we forget about it 2 weeks later. When we're in the midst of it, how do we know which is which?
Well, when you're in the midst of it, you start looking at the signs of panic. And what we had today really was a sign of panic, particularly as you mentioned, you know, with the Dow opening down over 1,000 points, and you had a huge decline, 8.5%, 8.6% in China. And it just, wherever you were looking, it didn't look like there was a safe haven. There was an article in Bloomberg Business that had one of the few safe havens in the world was in Polish debt. This is one of the places people were going. So you knew this was a global contagion. It was hitting everything. But when you start separating out what's going on, we're going through a really turbulent period. The Standard & Poor's 500 is down about 12% from its peak in May. There are a lot of questions being raised about global growth, but this is not, with the information we have today, this is not a harbinger of doom.
Yeah, looking at the economy at large, not just the stock markets
right.
and what they're doing, how are we looking?
So you look at the housing market continues to strengthen, and actually the Midwest is now one of the strongest housing markets in the country. We still continue to have employment growth. When you start looking at all the sectors of our economy, you can't confuse what's going on in the stock market, what's going on in the economy. Still, a reasonable projection is that the U.S. economy is going to continue to grow at this 2% pace that it's been doing, and we're going to see private sector employment growth continue as it's been going. And what appears to be happening is, let's just very quickly, there's sort of like two or three parts of this story. Part of it is China. Okay, so how much is China really slowing down? You know, initially 3 weeks ago, a month ago, people like me were interested in what's going on in China. But, you know, it didn't have much of an effect on everybody else. But now there is a big question, how much is the Chinese economy slowing down? It has slowed down, and we've lost since China devalued its currency. World markets have lost about $5 trillion. This has now raised the other big question. What is the Federal Reserve going to do? The betting in the market, no question. The Federal Reserve was going to raise its benchmark interest rate in September, the first move since 2006. Now, the betting is the Fed's not going to do a thing.
So what, apart from the Chinese economy, are we that intertwined, or are there other factors leading to these drops in the U.S. stock market today?
Right. You know, what's happening with China should not have much of an impact on the U.S. So, I mean, we're intertwined, and the big impact of China on the U.S., when you're thinking about the stock market, is the companies that make up the Standard & Poor's 500. These are mostly global multinationals. And Asia has been a source of strength for their corporate profits. So corporate profits start coming out in 2 or 3 weeks. They're going to look good, I think. But that's going to be a snapshot of the past. Looking forward, corporate profits going to be slightly weaker because of the problems in Asia. But really what China is influencing is a lot of the other emerging markets. You know, Malaysia, Indonesia, what's happening in Brazil. And so you're seeing a flight of capital away from the emerging markets. You're seeing a flight of capital away from the riskier sectors of the world economy because, you know, a lot of people are going into emerging market debt. They get that higher interest rate. Now they're saying, oh, this is too risky. And we've seen a flight to safety, which is coming here in the U.S. So it is much more than just China. It's the influence, it's the effect that China's having on the other emerging markets.
Talking to Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor at Marketplace, looking at today's and the last few weeks' stock market news. Big drop this morning on Wall Street, a rebound, another dip, and so on until close. Now, Chris, most most of our listeners, I think, are not big wheeling Wall Street investors. Just a hunch. I don't have the numbers on that. But a lot of people do have maybe their own stock portfolio or retirement accounts more commonly. So as we're in this situation, what kind of things would you recommend people be thinking about if they're thinking about making changes?
Okay, you're absolutely right. For most of, individual Americans, most employees, most workers, the way they're exposed to the stock market and the bond market is through their retirement savings account. And you don't want to be doing anything when there's a global panic at this particular point in time. You know, let the big hedge funds and the institutions, the pension funds, you know, they're, as we saw, the market went way down, then it's kind of bounced back up. They're trying to figure out, okay, where is this going? We're going to have a lot of volatility. We're going to have a lot of turbulence. But the fact of the matter is, unless you have some really pressing financial concern right here and today, what pays most of the time is just to be calm, don't make any actions, but learn from this particular moment in time. If you're hitting yourself on the side of the head saying, oh, I wish I knew I can't take this volatility. I knew I should have reduced my position in the stock market. Let's just say that's what you were saying. Remember that. And when the stock market's strong and everyone's saying about this is another great bull market, remember how you felt during this period of time and sell down to the sleeping point. So I would make my adjustments once we're past the panic, not at this particular point in time.
Some people might be thinking back to 2008 when stock market went down, and it was a prolonged Great Recession, we call it now. People were delaying their retirements because their retirement accounts went down. Should people worry about that now?
Well, you can't dismiss it. I mean, the stock market, Paul Samuelson, the late Nobel laureate, famously quipped that the stock market had forecasted, 17 out of the last four recessions. And, I think I slightly ruined that gave it too high a number. But that's the basic idea. No, right now I'm looking at the housing market, looking at the employment market. No, my sense is that the U.S. economy has a lot of strength and a lot of strength going ahead. The sad thing is that the U.S. economy right now is the strongest economy in the world. You know, the emerging markets are going through problems. Europe, as we all know, is not growing very fast, and they've been dealing with all the problems with Greece. The U.S. is really a stellar economy, and we've all been hoping, at some form or fashion, we've been hoping that we're going to break out of this 2% growth rate, and we're going to go to something 2.5%, 3%. We're going to start seeing some real, economic growth. And I think what this tells us, we're going to keep growing around 2%.
What would it take to break out of that stagnation in some parts of the world, slow but steady growth here in the U.S.?
So what it takes is, I think one of the lessons that we're going to take from this when we look back, and there's a big meeting of all the Federal Reserve experts are meeting in Jackson Hole, Wyoming later this week. One of the things, there's limits to monetary policy, and money is really cheap. There's a lot of money out there, and it's looking for good investment opportunities. And we tend to think about investment opportunities in the private sector, but there's also public sector investments, such as infrastructure, rebuilding ports and roads and bridges and railways and mass transit. And so, that is where I think this excess capital that is seeking some kind of investment opportunity, we should be doing a lot more public investment right now. And boy, if we're doing more public investment here in the U.S., I think that would improve our productivity, and it would also take advantage of these low interest rates to really make some long-form investments that we then get a rate of return over a considerable period of time.
I want to key in on one phrase you just used, excess capital. And we've been talking about this since the recovery started, the idea that banks are holding on to money, they're shy about taking risks with loans. Companies keeping some cash, they're being shy about investing in their capital, in labor. Is that still the case?
It's still the case. I mean, if you look at from the point of view of a global economy. So Ben Bernanke, the former Federal Reserve Board Chairman, Larry Summers, former Treasury Secretary, Paul Krugman, the Nobel laureate, New York Times columnist, have been talking about that there just isn't the kind of investment opportunities that just attracts a lot of this capital, and particularly in the private sector right now. There's a lot of innovation going on in technology, but it doesn't take a whole lot of capital. And so this is why you have very low interest rates, and this is also why you end up with money going to areas like the emerging markets, seeking that higher interest rate. But now all of a sudden people are going, maybe we took on a little bit too much risk. I'm going to get out of there now. I still think the story about this global savings glut is actually the right story to sort of take a step back and try to understand what's happening on a global basis.
A lot of it sounds like it's psychology, whether we're talking about the mood to invest that money or what happened today with the ups and downs of the stock market. What kind of psychological signals are you going to look for from investors as things open up on Tuesday and move ahead the rest of the week?
Well, what I'm going to be really watching for is just use the name Warren Buffett. Now, it may not be Warren Buffett, but Warren Buffett, the value investors. At what point do the value investor, I mean, remember, if you're looking at the U.S. stock market, it wasn't wildly overvalued, but by the historic levels, it was pretty highly valued. And so what I'm going to be watching is capital coming into the market and deciding that prices have fallen low enough and they can snap up some good companies at a reasonable price. And so that's what we're all going to be looking for. We're also going to be watching what does the Chinese central bank do. They have enormous resources. They have enormous reserves, U.S. dollar reserves. So what is the Chinese central bank going to do? We're also starting to see some signs of growth in Europe, some optimistic signs of growth. Okay, you have to be, you know, a little bit of a rose-colored lens, but there are optimistic signs of a little bit of a pickup in Europe. But mostly what I'm going to be watching is where are the value investors going and where are they placing their bets?
Chris, as always, I understand way more than I did 12 minutes ago. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
That's Chris Farrell, senior economics contributor at Marketplace and the author of Unretirement. He's Central Times economics correspondent with us to talk about why the stock market has been fluctuating today and over the last week or so.